And so we're going to continue on along the same vein. We've been talking about prayer. I'm going to teach you how to pray. And let us go to our Bibles this morning. And I have maybe a half a dozen things that really are on my heart. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, and we're going to start there. But I want to remind us that we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to go to that structure again and refer to it in terms of what it does for us and how to pray. And I'm going to focus on one thing. And I'm going to give you something that the Lord said to me earlier this weekend. And so to help you, to bless you, I believe it's going to help you today. So I want to talk about, in light of the Lord's Prayer, I want to talk to you from that Lord's Prayer, of this particular idea, one day at a time. One day at a time. And so I entitled it, One Day at a Time. And generally, we're talking about prayer here. Jesus said in Matthew 6:11, he says, the King James says, give us this day. Everybody say, this day. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord said we ought to pray this way and say, "This, give us this day our daily bread." Sometimes we focus more on our daily bread rather than focusing on the day itself, what lies ahead in that particular day. Because every one of us has needs, and the Lord brought that to my attention yesterday, and so that word jumped out at me, this day. And so we focus on the bread rather than the day. The day is significant. It's important. If you didn't have the day, you wouldn't need the bread. And so God has given us this day, one day at a time. And so much of us worry about the past and what the past, you know, I wrote something, your past should not define your future. It should not determine where you're going. Your past is gone. You could never do anything about it, but you could do something about it in reference to what you could do today to make the change. And your future is not here yet. We can only have the hope of the future and by faith receive that hope. But you don't know what lies ahead. Only if we understand what Jeremiah 29:11 says, that we have a hope and a future in God. And if we stay with God, there is a fantastic hope for you. And so he said, give us this day. You know, we ought to live one day at a time. We ought to live in the here and now. You ask yourself, what is he doing right now for us in this day right now? What did he say about today? He said, we live one day at a time. We live right now, right here, at this very moment. And so much of the time, people have this problem. It's a life problem. That is, they cannot enjoy the trip along the way. They can't enjoy the moment. They're always thinking about tomorrow, or this is going to make me happy. That's going to make me happy. And we need to start thinking right now, God, I want to rejoice in you. I want to thank you for your word and what you said in your word. Does that make sense to you, anybody? So one day at a time, you know, there was a gospel hit in the 70s. How many of you remember that? And some of you have never even was born back then. But in the 70s, there was a song, One Day at a Time. And it was a big hit in the Alcoholic Anonymous group. That was our theme song in the 70s. We sing, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Remember that? That's all I am asking of you. Give me the strength, right? Is that what it is? To do what I have to do. Is that what it is? Yesterday's gone. I remember that. Sweet Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine. It's coming to me. It's coming to me. How many of you remember that song, even if you weren't in the 70s, eh? I mean, tears would flow and thinking about, you know, one day at a time. But that was a blessing, wasn't it? And so I first heard this statement, one day at a time, in AA. I was just a young man. I was just in my later teens when I went to AA. I was just totally shipwrecked. Alcohol got a hold of me early. I started drinking when I was just a little boy in my mother's home just to escape my parents' home. My parents were chronic alcoholics, and I drank when I was just a young boy. And by the way, I was watching yesterday, the day, I think it was Saturday, and I watched the Pope's apology. How many of you saw that? You know, I never paid much attention to it, but when I saw it, I wept. I immediately wept. And it meant something to me. You know, and before I said, it doesn't mean anything to me. It's a political thing. It's this and that. But something happened to me that day. Thank God. You know, I mean, I already forgive the church, the Catholic Church. I already done that. And I already released them, and I didn't blame them. I stopped blaming them because my sponsor in AA told me, Roma, you can't blame people anymore. You got to stop it because that's killing you. You got to live one day at a time. You got to forget the past and move on because you can't carry on that luggage. Jesus said, he said, cast all your burdens on me. I don't want you to carry one load, one heavy burden. And so I heard that tune many, many years ago. And it was a good tune, and I enjoyed it. And so I never forgot that tune because of its simplicity. Very simple song. It's a tune that anybody can sing, but also the simplicity of the message. And also, not only for its simplicity, but its profoundness, the deepness in the meaning of that word, of those very words. And never thought much about it until I came across some difficult situations in my own personal life. We know we only have one life to live, and that we can live one day at a time, sometimes one moment at a time, or just a few seconds at a time, to say, you know what, if I can just hang on for the next hour. I remember grinding my teeth and clenching my fist, and I said, I'm not going to go back out there. I quit. Just for today, I'm going to put it off. And I did that for some 40, almost 45 years now since I quit. I told you I had many lives to live. Hallelujah. It's good. Amen. I thank God I receive all the accolades that I did it on my own. There's another song that goes, how does it go again? I live a life that's full. I travel each and every highway, but more, I did it my way. I'm going to come out with a new album. Pastor Roma's Oldies. How many of you believe I should belong on the music team? No, nobody. Hey, team, I'm joining in. And so there's also a sitcom in the 70s called One Day at a Time. I don't know if you guys remember it. There's a show called One Day at a Time. And so along with the lyrics I just mentioned to you, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength today for all that I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today. Show me the way. It's one day at a time. So that song is an awesome song, a song of someone's experience, but also a reality, what Jesus mentioned about one day at a time. Perhaps this song is a reference to someone's life going through a really hard time. I believe it is. Those of us, remember this. Some days we feel like that. Some days we feel that we cannot go on. We don't have the strength. And because of the struggles that we have in life. But we need to remember that God will give you the strength for every day. And we forget that because of our unrenewed mind, that no matter how we feel, it's not about how you feel, It's about faith in Jesus. No matter how low you feel, no matter how rough it is, that he promises to be Jehovah Shammah, our ever-present God, a God who is ready to help us in a time of our need. Psalm 46, 1 says. And we should never forget that he's our source of strength. That he is our strength, our rock, our God. And, you know, you don't always, you know, we're not always that dramatic when things go on because we're all emotional. We're all living in the soulless realm. And that's why our spirits need to be stronger to ascend over our soulless realm, our own imaginations and our own soul, our feelings. And we rise up strong with our spirit in the name of Jesus. So there are days that we can feel that this day is not, we can't overcome this day. But thank God we have world overcoming faith that rises up on the inside of us in our hearts during these situations and we get re-energized. And so I thought I would play some of this song for you. Do you mind? I'm gonna play this song right now. we do have a video for you, so I thought I'd give you a little break. And so we're gonna show you. But I can play that thing. Can we have the song, boys? Lights, camera, action. Turn it up. I'm gonna sing along with it, guys. Where's the mic? Come on, you can sing it. Come on, everybody, let's sing it. It's on there. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Okay, you can stop it there. We don't want to sing about the rest of it. But we'll come back to that. But isn't that a good song to remember? Didn't you feel like, you know, the blood is flowing, the tears are going? Okay? But we need to remember it's one day at a time. Amen? And so we go to the Lord every day because of that. We only have one day at a time, and we pray every day for that day for what we need. And so the principle of the Lord's Prayer, we want to mention here some things about the principle of the Lord's Prayer. Let's go ahead and I want to go to our prayer outline for a second here, guys. Luke chapter 1. Chapter 11, verse 1. Let's go to that verse of scripture and look at something here for our learning, because we're talking about the Lord's Prayer in reference to finding a plan of action with our prayer and how, what God said to do, how he told us to approach prayer in the scripture. So we have a lot of scriptures here and there, and we have to put it together. But Jesus gave us an outline back there to help us all today. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying, you know, praying is talking to God and telling him, you know, or communicating and talking, telling him some stuff and declaring different things, and he talking to you. In a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Everybody, let's say that together. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Come on, say, Lord. Teach us to pray. So he says, as John taught his disciples. So you begin every day in your prayer time, every day, with some things outlined for us in the Lord's Prayer. So first of all, we start each prayer time with praise, worship, and thanksgiving. The way we enter into the presence of God is by worship, prayer of thanksgiving. And, worshiping him. And we go to God. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. Sometimes you don't feel that you have the strength to pray. Sometimes you don't want to pray because things are too tough. And mentally, you're being assaulted with thoughts of failure, thoughts of death, thoughts of defeat. And so you're going into your prayer with that kind of mention in mind, that you're going to God. Sometimes in the toughest moments, every day is not the same. Sometimes you go through seasons of the toughest seasons in life. Sometimes they last a day. Sometimes they last for months. Sometimes they last for 1 year. Sometimes it lasts for more than 1 year, maybe 2 years, 10 years. How many people can relate to that? Yeah. Sometimes it goes stronger. I'm not saying that you're praying for different things. Some of you got prayer targets right now that you've been praying about for a long, long time, and it doesn't seem to get any better. In fact, some areas have gotten worse. But you need to stay with it. In the same chapter in Luke, Jesus taught the disciples that those who with shameless persistence will stick with God in their prayer, they'll get their answer. It doesn't happen overnight. Some things, when you intercede, and sometimes you supplicate in some areas, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, I heard a saying one time of somebody in the, I believe it was the Iron Lady, Thatcher, she was Prime Minister of Great Britain. And she says, sometimes you have to fight a battle more than one time. You have to keep fighting over some areas. Because the devil, you know, especially if you're praying for someone else, and they're lost, and the devil's got a hold of them, and you have to it takes you sometimes longer because that person, God is waiting for that person to make some changes. And you have to stand for them so that the devil won't kill them until that time. Because this plan, Jesus outlined it for us in the 10th chapter, 10:10. The devil comes for three things. Number one, to kill, to steal, and destroy. And everything in your life and the life of your loved ones, he's going to come to kill, steal, and destroy. And you might not have this going on in your life, but one day something like that is going to happen. And your prayer life will get really hot. And you have to be prepared. And so so when you pray every day, you're getting prepared and you know how to fight. John 14, Exodus 14, 14 says that God says, I'm going to fight for you. Exodus 49 says that God says that whoever contends with you will have to contend with me. I will fight your battles. I want to save you and your family and your children. And thank God for that. Hallelujah. And so we thank God that we have to do this every day. So there are some times in your prayer life you're not going to want to pray. You're not going to want to pray. In fact, I want to tell you right now that your mind will not always want to cooperate with you, and your body will not always want to pray. So you have to take your body and you have to take your mind and make it focus on God, and make it lift your hands when you don't feel like it, and lift your voice up when you don't feel like it, and offer the sacrifice of praise. Pray, because your body a lot of times does not want to cooperate, and you make yourself to do it. Because that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, we offer, our body is a living sacrifice. That means you're going to do things that it doesn't want to do. And your spirit must be strong and pray when it doesn't want to pray. Get up in the morning a few minutes earlier or a few hours if you have to and pray and declare that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So we start each prayer session with praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And after that, we make our faith declarations, the confessions of our faith for that day. We say something like this. We pray, we make our declaration, we praise God. First of all, we come to God with praise. The Bible says we offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We thank God. We praise him. The Bible says if you don't remember what to do, if nothing's good is happening in your life, you have to use maybe say Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destructions and crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. right? And you declare those things in over your life. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I thank God that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Amen? I found different scriptures that God said, I'm going to take care of you when you're old and gray. I know my hair, I had to do a little coloring this morning. Black ink. But you know what? I thank God I got a few hairs left. I mean, I had more before. I had like this before. Even now, I have enough that funny stuff to put in your hair to stick up. You know. But it cost me less to use my hair products today. Amen? My wife knows that. Sometimes for months I don't use anything. Thank God Pastor Ken's finished with his. You got any more stuff at your house? No. Brillo cream, it's gone. Amen. We're not going to focus on that right now. I told him I'm not going to tease him because I want to keep my hair. Praise God. And so, you know, we declare. And so we declare, you know, it talks about in there. Let's go here. Okay. Psalm 100, verse 1 to 5 says, the New Living says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. How many earthlings we have here? There's a few of them. Shout to joy. Shout to the Lord. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Worship Him with gladness. And so, you know, when you start focusing on God, you do get glad. Come before Him with singing and with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. Acknowledge that He is God. You're not God. He is God. We put ourselves in position there. When we get ourselves to prayer, we put ourselves in a position that we're talking to somebody that is supernatural. He's almighty. He's the omnipotent God, the God of all creation. God is mighty. And, you know, I want to mention, I was looking at some things there, that God, there's many names for God in the Bible. You know, the scripture says that God is Elohim. His name is Elohim. He's Jehovah. He's Jehovah God. He's Adonai. Elohim means that He's the God of all creation. He's the creator. In the earlier developments of understanding in earlier times, he declared that He is the creator. He is the creator. And many nations of the world know Him as creator and refer to Him as creator. But He's more than creator. That's why we go to Him. He says, Jesus didn't say, when you go to your prayer and say, oh, my creator. He said, no, tell Him, our Father which art in heaven. 1 John says that we thank God that we are declared to be His children. That God is more than the creator. He is our Father. How wonderful, He says, it is that we can be called children of God. That's a new revelation. Revelation is progressive. As you see in the Bible, we have more and more revelation and knowledge. So that's the first thing that to know about God, that He is creator. We acknowledge Him, that He created us. We are His, and He's more than that, though. The Bible says He's Jehovah God. Jehovah God is the most used name in the Bible. More than any other name in the Bible, Jehovah God, the word Jehovah, that word is used over 8,000 times in the Bible. Very less with Elohim, creator. But more, He is Jehovah God. And He has revealed Himself in 7 redemptive names as Jehovah. He's your healer. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Rapha, He's my divine healer. Not only that, but He's my divine health. He's my health every day. Lord, I have divine health flowing in me today. He is Jehovah Shammah, my ever-present God, the God that's in me, the God is with me. He's everywhere at the same time. He's the omnipresent one. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something here. So there's seven redemptive names. We'll talk about that throughout our entire discussion this year. And maybe today some more. I had a message. You know, we had our chief here from our reserve on Wednesday, and I was disappointed a lot of the folks didn't show up that day. But we had a lot of good visitors. We need to have anything that's happened special. We want to invite you to come out to encourage us that we're doing it together. And show them that you love them. Show the people that you care for them to come to your church. Get a chance to shake their hand and tell them that you love them. People. New people. Let me tell you something. I got some wonderful things that happened during that time. And I got a few mails that came to me that particular day. Just before this situation, I had a incident, or a couple of weeks back, we went to the reserve. Over the other reserve, not my reserve, but the one across the road, the lake over there, called Ginugaming. My niece is the chief in that area. So she asked if we could come in and work with the kids, the young people, and she wanted us to come and help out because of all the suicides and addictions and so on. There was lots of suicides that's going on, and so I was just so perplexed because I said, I don't know what to say. I don't sing songs. I don't have a guitar. I'm not a rapper. What am I going to do? I'm an old man. But I did have the word, but I needed somebody. I needed young kids. I wanted young people to come with me to give them encouragement, to help them. I was at, Pastor Ken and I went to, not too long ago, a few months back, we went to a funeral of a young man. I believe he was 14 years old. I think the girl was young too. Just a young person that committed suicide. One was an overdose. But anyway, we went there. And we, the last couple of weeks ago, we went on that community. And I didn't know what to say. I was going by faith. I said, Lord, give me something. And I went there and declared some things. And the power of God began to operate and prayer started happening. It's hard to just... when you go into an atmosphere that's not used to doing this, and you standing out there, you don't have Lisa behind you, you don't have Pastor Steve there, you're there, you're it. And that's when you need the Lord, right? So anyway, I'm praying, and the power of God began to manifest. We call out healings, and the people came forward, and one guy was standing there, and the word of knowledge started to come out, just like that night over here, Wednesday night, the word of knowledge started coming out, and I said this and this and this, and this person said to me, after a while, came to me and said, how did you know? I had this problem. How did you know I had all this stuff going on in my life? The power of God was operating, and thank you who are praying, the people who are praying for the power of God to manifest. So on Wednesday night when we came, we had the service, thank God. Thank you, team, for helping that night, and the food was delicious. For the people and all of us. I ate it for 2 days after as well. So we prayed, and there was a man in our service that night, and I and the Lord brought this man to my attention, and I saw him as I walked in. I saw this man. I walked into my chair. I saw him lifting his hands and worshiping God during the service, and I know this person was not born again. Knew him for years. He doesn't read nor write. Came into the service along with a bunch of people. And my chief sent me this letter. She talked to me about this. Let me just give you. what happened here? Praise God. Isn't God good? Every day He's good. Thank you, Lord. She gave me a picture. So he sent me some pictures. I think Sterling took some wonderful pictures during a conference during last week, and she sent me a couple of those pictures. And she sent me a picture of, I think, I don't know who it was, but I was talking to a man right after the session in the banquet hall. He said, this picture is a special picture for me. This person told us, nobody will ever believe me that I came to church. Laugh out loud. But he also said, I never felt God like this, like I did here. Nowhere else in my life did I ever feel God, that I ever felt him in this place. This is a special place. And I want to thank the people who's praying that this man experienced God right in his chair. The Lord told me that this man is experiencing him. And I didn't say anything. I didn't want to call him up. That's something that God was doing for him. And he came here during this conference to do all those other things, but God brought him here. And we prayed the salvation prayer for everybody, that if you want to receive Jesus, this is what you do. And said, I will never forget these words and never forget coming here, he says. So thank God. There was another guy that was on the council. He never attends things like this. So that night he came. She said, yes. I said, yes, I was talking to a guy. He told me that how much he enjoyed the service. He was appreciative of what was God was doing here with our ministry, this counselor. And I said, wow, that's great. Childhood schoolmate and different faith, different, I don't know if he has what kind of faith he had. But so the chief said to me, yeah, this person never attends something like this. But the song that Bruce sang and what you said that night about storms really ministered to him, and it made sense to him. And the chief said to everyone, says, thank you so much for making this arrangement, this special time for these people to come to your church and have an occasion like this where they can receive God's word. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for helping and all the workers. So it's so important to pray, to continue to pray, because God is doing something. And so we want to go back to that one day at a time. Amen. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, it says there, give us day by day our daily bread. Luke mentions this in his gospel. Our daily prayers, we need to ask God to meet our daily needs one day at a time. Even though God knows about our needs, we still have to ask him. Matthew 6:8 says that even though God knows what you need, by faith you should still ask him. Because it's a faith thing. God wants you to come to him in faith and believe. The word of God says we live one day at a time. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today is trouble enough of its own. Somebody say we live in yesterday or tomorrow's, yesterday's hurts, and we're living in it, and we live out tomorrow's worries. But we need to live one day at a time. Thank you, Lord. I got a prophetic word that the Lord spoke to me. I was talking to him about different things, and early Saturday morning, early in the morning, I was praying. I opened my eyes. I began to pray out of my spirit. In fact, yesterday I'm watching the hockey game. You can pray and watch hockey games. And I remember Pastor Hagin would say about Brother Hagin, he would be sitting there with his lips moving, watching the football game, getting his heart in tune with the Father. And so the devil will tell you that praying in tongues is insignificant. It's not doing anything. He knows that it does so much for you. And don't ever let him tell you and lie to you that praying in tongues is of no significance and value to you. And so I begin to pray. I answered that the devil spoke to me. I know it was the devil. I answered out loud. I said, that's not true. I said, 1 Corinthians 14 says that when I pray in tongues, I'm talking to God. And I'm talking divine secrets. I'm talking about God's plans and praying in God's plans for the people. He that speaks in a tongue speaks unto God. For no one understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries or divine truth, hidden truths, not obvious to our senses, our knowledge, our own understanding. That's why Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Romans 8:26 said that the Holy Ghost himself helps us in our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings. The word groanings in the original language means inarticulate speech or tongue that we cannot understand. He makes intercession for the saints with groanings but cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, that's God, knows the mind of the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 27 and 28. And when we pray in tongues, we're praying the will of God. When you run out of words and run out of ideas how to pray for someone, you kick into the supernatural and pray God's power directly, and it supersedes your understanding and goes directly in that vein. You say, God, Lord, I don't know how to pray anymore. I don't know what to say anymore. But I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit, as I intend to, as I purpose to pray over this area and over this person, I declare that God's will, according to that word, will be accomplished. And so I pray by faith in tongues over that area. And then I pray in tongues. My mind's telling me, oh, that's not doing anything. Oh, that's really silly. You're wasting your time, the devil says to me. But that's not true. I'm operating on the Spirit. I'm operating on the Word, not on what I feel, not on what I think, not on what people think, but I'm operating on the Word. I'm praying for the will of God to manifest. Because Paul said you pray two ways. First of all, you pray with your understanding, and you pray with your spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15 talks about those things. We pray with our spirit as well as our understanding. We purpose to do that. Because we are limited in our prayer. We can only know what we know, but Holy Spirit knows more than we know. And so sometimes we don't know how. So say, Father, I don't know what else to pray about today because I don't know what's happening. So, Father, so after we make our declarations of who God is, we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, that which means that we declare that God is God, and we declare His names. His names reveal who He is. He's our healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's Jehovah Sitkino, our righteousness. I am the righteousness of God. He's Jehovah Shammah, my ever-present God. He's Jehovah Jireh, my divine supplier. He supplies all my needs according to riches and glory. Jesus is my shepherd. I got all that I want. He's Jehovah Nissi, my victory, my banner. He's given me victory right now. Thank God He's given me victory. And we declare that. We declare those things over our lives. Specifically, as God leads you, you pray these things over your life. And then you make declarations of faith. You declare what that day will bring for you. You say, thank you, Lord. This day is going to be an awesome day. I declare, Jesus said, you will have what you say. In Mark 11, 23. Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 12 says, God says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. I make it good. Jesus is your high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when you pray, He's going to make that good in your life. And just because it doesn't change that very moment, we continue to make our faith declarations. We say, Lord, I want to thank you that today I'm going to be led by God. I'm going to have divine appointments. I'm going to have divine setups. I'm going to meet people that I need to meet. And anybody I'm not supposed to be with, Lord God, arrange that so that I don't have to be with those people. I want to be exactly in the will of God where you want me to be. Because the devil will send everybody to you, take away your time, because everything's important. But you need to follow what God wants you to do. I didn't say to push them aside, but you know what? You need to deal with one thing at a time where God wants you to be. So you declare that this is going to be an awesome day. This is going to be a day of grace. And anything happens today, Lord God, I'm well able to overcome it. Because, you know, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will not fear anything. I'm not going to have anxiety attacks today. Somebody put on their Facebook, how do I get rid of anxiety attacks? You get to God. The pills are not going to work. And the, you know, the psychological things, thank God they help you. And they help me a lot. But what really did it for me was coming to God and recognize my authority over fear and recognizing I don't have to have fears about tomorrow. Anxiety is all about fears. And your body is going to react to what you think about. Science knows that. What you focus on long enough, your body, whether it's real or imagined, is going to happen in your body. You're going to be afraid of a boogeyman that doesn't even exist. And you think about, and your body's shaking. It's not even real, but you're shaking. You can get up from a dream, a very scary dream, and you're sweating, and you're shaking, and you're exhausted. It happened to me, but it was only a dream. Yes, I was only dreaming. The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. And there to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the road, lane, and look, and there runs Mary. Pair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. And he says, oh, then I wake and look around me. At four great walls that surround me, and I only realize I was only dreaming. He said, and there's a padre, there's a sad old moon. And he's about to die. And he saw himself going home for the last time. But that's not you. Don't sing that song. I'm thinking about doing a show. I thought about becoming the next Frank Sinatra. Singing about good old New York. I know there's the Nish Elvis. Anybody heard about the Nish Elvis? But this is the Nish, the real thing. Sinatra of 58. Hallelujah, amen. Thank God. See, we have one fan leaving now. They're going to go pray for me. See, we got to pray for that pastor. He's out of it, man. So we have one day at a time. Thank God. And I'm going to close with this. The Lord spoke to me, to someone here, and he spoke this to me. Isaiah 46 and verse 13. This is a word for somebody directly here right now. Isaiah 46, 13, New Living says, For I am ready to set things right. Not in the distant future, but right now. To save Jerusalem and to show my glory to Israel. And I heard that word spoken to me. The Lord spoke this. And I was reading my Bible early in the morning. And I heard this. And I said, I was asking the Lord, Lord, you got to give me something. Give me a word that I need right now for me and my family. And so that day, I had that word, and I was kind of mulling over it. And immediately when the Lord spoke to me through that scripture as I was reading the Bible, you know, here's something that you need to know. The devil told me, oh, that's just for Israel over there. That's them, and that's for that time when they were doing something there. What is that all about? And he began to tell me that's not for me. And I heard the Lord say this. The Bible, in Brother Higgins' voice, the Bible is God speaking to me. Everybody say this. Say, the Bible is God's word speaking to me. And point to your neighbor and say, the Bible is God speaking to you. That means you can take that literally. And it was a flash of strong witness that the Lord spoke to me. And he said, that's not only for you, but someone whoever can take that today and accept it. Whatever it is that you're standing in waiting for God to do, that God is ready. According to the scripture, he's ready to set things right in your life, whatever concerns you. Not in the distant future, because we push everything ahead one day at a time. We say, I receive it right now. Faith is right now. Father, I thank you right now that you're setting things right now. Not in the future. Thank God for my future. There's a hope, but I need something right now. I need it right now. And I the Lord spoke that to me. Now listen to me. Listen. I was, I think it was November when it got really cold. It wasn't actually cold when I left for another city. We had to go to a conference. And I was rushing around that day. And I had my fob, my car fob, and my electric car starter in my pocket. So I thought I have two of them. I was going to leave one for Pastor Ken because he might do some business for me. So I thought I'm going to leave it at the office. Either I put it in my desk first, and I said, I'll put it in the safe. And I said, no, somebody might take it and put it over here and said, this is lost and found. So I took it out there, and I was confused. And then finally I said, I can't leave it in a safe, and I can't leave it in my mind. I'm thinking, I can't leave it in my drawer. So I'll put it somewhere, and I forgot I had it, and I took it home, and then I forgot. I got home, and I put it somewhere to hide it and to put it away, because in case somebody comes in, they saw the keys there, and they take my car. So I put it away forever. I couldn't remember where it was, and I was so disappointed, I lost it. So November, December, January, February, March, April. And I'm digging around in my bag, my overnight bag, and I notice there's something heavy in there. Oh, that's my gym locker, locker thing. And I went and opened it there. Oh, the key fob. And I showed my wife, and we rejoiced and jumped up and down. Woo! I mean, it's like $500 a piece. $300, $400 a piece for one of those pieces. And they have to do everything. You have to take it there, and you have to pay them like several thousands of dollars just to take it in. And we agreed. My wife agreed. I said, it's here somewhere. And I blame Pastor Ken. Because just one time he took it. So I blamed him. I blamed Gene even. I said, even Gene must have took that and put it somewhere. Forgot about it. So I blame everybody. I blame all the kids. I blame everybody. If somebody's got it, I don't have it. I don't ever do things like that. But it was me. And the last week, the week before, I lost my Raymond ring. And we had it on television. We showed it. See, we look at the TV. It's not on there. It's on the baby figure. Okay, huh? Then I'm going out to my car the other day. I looked in the back seat, and there's a looked like a silver dollar. I said, "Oh, there's a dollar." So I picked it up. It was my ring. So I found it. And then I lost a few other items. I'm running here and there. Praise God. We won't talk about those things. So next time I blame you, you better pray for me. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this day, this hour. We had a wonderful time hearing the Word of God this morning, Father. Thank you. Thank you for those that are watching online. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd get a hold of lost articles, stolen articles, and things that you put away. Hallelujah. Let's declare those things that who God is. Who is he to you? What has he done in your personal life? And also what the Bible says of who he is. And let's declare what this day will bring, what this time will bring for us. Let's just for 30 seconds lift your hand or lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to thank you that you are my healer. Let's declare that he's our healer, our provision, our provider. Lord, we declare you are our healer. Divine health is flowing inside of me. Healing is flowing out in my entire body, like that song says. You're in my veins. You're everywhere. You are in me. You're working in me. You're my provider. You're going to provide everything I need today. Thank you, Lord. You're my healer. You're my protector. And, you're arranging for me today. If the devil has a plan, it's going to be dissolved. It's going to be dissolved. Any evil plan against us, no weapon shall form us, will prosper. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to provide every need. There'll be not a need that shows up that says that I'm going to be out. But no, God, you're more than enough. I don't care if the tire blows. I don't care whatever happens. I'm declaring every need to be met. I'm declaring that everybody here that needs a job has a job. I'm declaring today that we have divine order, divine appointments, and we're going to meet people that we need to meet in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. I have peace in my heart and peace in my mind. I'm led by peace. I have such a peace that it cannot be disturbed. I declare that, even though if I'm feeling the opposite, I'm going to declare that over my life. I don't know how bad it looks. I'm declaring that you're my victory. No matter how it seems, and how long we've been fighting this battle, I declare the salvation of Jesus. I declare that God is working for me. I declare that he's the one that fights for me. He does the fighting for me. I put him to work right now. I say, Lord, you are my force of strength. In the name of Jesus, we release the power of God right now. We release the power of God in this place to bring healing and health, salvation and deliverance, victory, leading, guiding, every source of need in every area. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. I declare those kidneys to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I declare it to be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Every sickness, we're believing, we sang about miracles. We believe in miracles in this place. I believe that God can do something for you right now. Right now, right here, right now. Change is happening right now.